Nightwing.
The sheer sound of Cecily's voice could make me froth at the mouth.
I hope these are satisfactory. I do so want to be of service to the unfortunate.
It's possible that I shall lose consciousness from holding back a very loud ha at this. Cecily, who never misses an opportunity to tease Anne about her scholarship status, wants nothing to do with the poor. What she does want is to be Mrs. Nightwing's lapdog. Mrs. Nightwing holds Cecily's perfect ornaments up to the light for inspection.
These are exemplary, Miss Temple. I commend you.
Cecily gives a very smug smile.
Thank you, Mrs. Nightwing.
Ah, Christmas. With a heavy sigh, I take apart my pathetic ornament and begin again. My eyes burn and blur. I rub them, but it does no good. What I need is sleep. But sleep is the very thing I fear. For weeks, I've been haunted by wicked warnings of dreams. I cannot remember much when I awaken, only snatches here and there. A sky roiling with red and grey, a painted flower dripping tears of blood, strange forests of light, my face, grave and questioning, reflected in water. But the images that stay with me are of her, beautiful and sad.
"Why did you leave me here?" she cries, and I cannot answer. "I want to come back. I want us to be together again."
I break away and run, but her cry finds me.
"It's your fault, Gemma. You left me here. You left me."
That is all I remember when I wake each morning before dawn, gasping and covered in perspiration, more tired than when I went to bed. They are only dreams. Then why do they leave me feeling so troubled?
"You might have warned me," I protest to Felicity and Anne the moment we are left alone.
"You might have been more careful,"
Anne chides. From her sleeve she pulls a handkerchief gone grey with washing and dabs at her constantly leaking nose and watery eyes.
"I wouldn't have done it had I known she was standing directly behind me."
"You know that Mrs. Nightwing is like God, everywhere at once. In fact, she may be God for all I know,"
Felicity sighs. The firelight casts a golden sheen upon her white blonde hair. She glows like a fallen angel. Anne looks around, nervous.
You oughtn't to talk about," she whispers the word, "God, that way."
"Why ever not?" Felicity asks. "It might bring bad luck."
Quiet descends, for we are all too well and too recently acquainted with bad luck to forget that there are forces at work beyond the world we see, forces beyond all reason and comprehension. Felicity stares at the fire.
"You still assume there is a God, Anne, with all we've seen?"
One of the noiseless servants flits down the dim hallway, the white of her apron outlined by the sombre grey of her uniform, so that all that is seen against the darkness is the apron. The woman disappears entirely into shadow. If I follow her movements as she rounds a corner, I can see the happy, firelit hall from whence we've just come. A swarm of girls of varying ages, from 6 to 17, breaks out into spontaneous caroling, entreating God to rest ye merry gentlemen. No mention of God's resting gentlewomen, merry or not. I long to join them, to light the candles on the grand tree, to pull at the strings on the bright Christmas crackers and hear the paper pop with a satisfying, jolly sound. I long to have no concerns other than whether Father Christmas will be kind this year or I shall find coal in my stocking. With arms linked like paper dolls cut from the same paper, a trio of girls sways back and forth. One places her soft, curly head on the shoulder of the girl next to her, and she in turn gives a tiny kiss to that one's forehead. They have no idea that this world is not the only one, that far beyond the formidable, castle-like walls of Spence Academy, far beyond the barrier of Mrs. Nightwing, Mademoiselle Lafarge, and the other instructors here to mould and shape our habits and characters like so much willing clay, beyond England itself, there is a place of such beauty and fearsome power, a place where what you dream can be yours, and you must be careful what you dream, a place where things can hurt you, a place that has already claimed one of us. I am the link to that place.
"Let's gather our coats,"
Anne says, moving for the immense coiling staircase that dominates the foyer. Felicity regards her curiously.
Whatever for? Where are we going?
It's Wednesday, Anne says, turning away. Time to visit Pippa.